Morning, everyone. Morning. If you could please turn your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Amen. So, today is December 30th, the second last day of 2014, and the second last day of our theme of reboot. And as I was really preparing for the EMP, there's really one message that kept ringing off in my heart. And I think it really continues from what happened on Saturday, or not Saturday, with... on a Sunday morning and afternoon when Pastor Kenny preached, and the two messages that I kind of gave. You know, there's three words that kept coming to my mind. And it was, first of all, it was reboot, you know, like our theme of this year. Second of all, it was repent. And the third was keep running. And I really didn't really understand what this was mean or all this really meant until God kind of brought me to 1 John chapter 1. And so to give you an idea kind of what was happening first here was this. This was probably written, scholars are thinking probably around like 85 AD to about 90 AD. And this was before John was actually banished to the island of Patmos where he was living in exile. And so around this time, we know Christ has come and he had died and had been around like 80, 90 years already. And so if you think about that, what's happened is that Christianity has already gone through a generation, if not one generation, at least two. So Christ has come and he had died. People had seen him, people had experienced him, people had seen his miracles. But after about, 80, 90 years, it's getting to the end where it's firsthand information. It's getting to this point now where people have experienced him for a while and it's starting to grow cold. And we see this in history because around this time, there was a lot of false teaching that was starting to come back in, and a lot of people starting to believe that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. A lot of people are saying, oh, he was a nice guy, you know, he did a lot of things that seemed like were miracles, or maybe he was somebody that just came and for some reason had a great impact on the world, but wasn't necessarily the Son of God, and he wasn't, you know, Jesus Christ himself. And not only that, because a generation had gone by, the worries of the world started to creep back into the Christian, the Christians, I guess, at the time. And so they started not committing to what it was that Jesus had called them to commit to, which was to make disciples of the world, to continue living a Christian life. And so John, being one of the last disciples to be alive, he was writing a book, and this was one of the first books he wrote, because when he was on Patmos, that was when he was writing the Epistle of John and Revelation. But being the last disciple, he was realizing, look, I need to do something, and I need to write something to make sure that everything that we experience, everything that we've seen in Christ, everything that we've heard about him, witnessed, and of course, he himself is a firsthand witness, right? He had dinner with him. John was, you know, every time you see in the Bible, the one that he loved, right? It was John, right? John is this person. He's trying to say, guys, everything we experience is real, so continue to be committed. And so this is what 1 John basically was written for. So when we go through the text, there's kind of a few things I want to glean from it before I kind of get into what I believe God is saying. And I'll try to keep it as short as possible. But so John basically is trying to get Christianity back on track at this point. You know, they've kind of lost the way. They've kind of, you know, it's kind of been there, done that, been around for a while. And now he's saying, guys, don't forget. Don't forget. So at the beginning of the chapter, this is everything the first thing he talks about is he's trying to remind everyone that, guys, I was there. I saw what Christ did. And not only did I see what Christ did, after I saw what Christ did, I told you about him. You guys have too experienced God in your life. You too have experienced the power of his word in your life. Why are you being uncommitted? You know, this is always a really funny thing to me. You know, as a Christian, is the one example I always hear, especially from the pulpit, is, you know, when we first become Christians, we're on fire for the Lord, right? You know, we first accept and we're like, yes, God. And PCM always says, we come because there's a need. And so Christ meets that need. And then all of a sudden, we're like, yes, you know, God, I love you. And then as kind of time goes on, we kind of lose that sort of light and that sort of fire. But like John, you know, in this year of reboot, part of the reason I believe God is saying to this is I believe God has kind of called each of us into a reboot of this year. Maybe there's something God had kind of called you to, a commitment to. You know, maybe he said, hey, be committed in this year to really seek my face. Maybe be committed this year to read the word. Maybe be committed this year to do something or to obey in some way. Well, sometimes after a while, we kind of think, hey, was that really from God? Was that really something that I heard? Is this something that I really believe is from him? Well, I believe one of the part of the message that God is saying today is this, is, hey, it was. Remember God. Remember what he's done for you. Remember the things that he said to you. Remember the things that you've experienced from him. And continue to be committed in the things that God has called you to be committed to. One of my favorite quotes specifically about faith, about this, is actually from Robert Browning. And Robert Browning was a late 19th century a poet and a writer. And I can never remember this for the life of me, but I love this quote. And it says something like this, is, you call for faith, I show you doubt to prove that faith exists. The more the doubt, the stronger the faith. I say, if faith overcomes doubt. And he wasn't a professing Christian. Actually, his mother was a Christian. But most of the time when people would ask him, he was actually a professing atheist. But in most of his poems, in most of his writings, you see God, you see faith, and you see doubt, or love. And what I most love most about this quote is, like Paul, I love the fact that even in those who don't believe in God, that they see that there's a need for faith in something, in somewhere. And so if you are going through this time, and again, I should have maybe at the beginning kind of preempted or given a caveat, is there's this very specific message I'm trying to give here, is if there has been doubt that you've been experiencing in any sort of way, right, I think one of the best things we can do to help us continue on in the journey is just to look back, see where God's taken you through. Look at the spiritual markers, and I don't mean just to do it when you're you know, going through low times. Do it continuously. Always look at the things that God has done. And I think there is good reason why God tells us in the Word to keep, tell your kids about it, you know, talk about it, talk about the stories of Christ everywhere you are, you know, at the dinner table, or, you know, whether you're fellowshiping with friends. There's something about it that is so important when we talk about God and we talk about the stories of God, because it builds our faith. And so this is one of the first things that John is telling to the early church is, don't forget. God is good. God is real. Everything you've experienced is real. And I think this is one of the first things he's addressing too, is one of the greatest lies of Satan is God doesn't exist. The doubt that he casts in our life, the things that that the enemy tries to do to make us feel like, oh, God doesn't exist. That was coincidence. You got healed? Oh, you know, that really wasn't God. It was a doctor. It was medicine. Or maybe it wasn't really even hurting. Actually, one of the examples I actually really want to give is at the well. Is this? Is I've seen some pretty funny things in that people sometimes will come up, and for whatever reason, you know, they'll have a pain, and you know, we'll pray for them, and we'll see whatever the case may be, you know, and whether it's physical or spiritual, we pray for them, and they get healed. You know, it's an instantaneous thing. They get healed, and they start jumping up and down. You know, I tell them to, you know, try walking on it, whatever the case may be. They squat, they jump. You know, if it's an arm, they'll try to rotate and all these things. They're healed. And then what happens is a few days later, you know, they go home, and then for some reason it starts hurting again, right? And then the next week, you know, I kind of go up to them, and I see them. I'm like, hey, you know, so-and-so, it's good to see you. How's your leg or arm and all of these things? They're like, oh, it's good, and but it's hurting again. And I was like, hey, maybe you should come back to the well. And they'll be like, oh, no, it's okay. You know, it's good, it's okay. And, you know, the thing that I see from them is this, right? And I'm not trying to make a judgment. And so if this is you, I'm sorry. But I'm not trying to make a judgment. But in part of it, I kind of feel like when they came, there was this desire to believe that God can heal. And that God heals them. And they're, you know, and it's very real, right? They're standing at the front. They're like, yeah, you know, it doesn't hurt anymore, right? There's something about it that God is good. It doesn't hurt. But then the next time when I talk to them, and because the pain has come back or whatnot, there's kind of this belief now that, wait, hey, maybe God doesn't heal. I don't want to go to the well anymore. I don't want to get prayed for because maybe I'm going to get disappointed, you know, or maybe these guys aren't anointed, or maybe God doesn't care about me. And I see this happen actually quite often. And I think this is one of the saddest things that happened with us, not because of our lack of faith, but how strongly the enemy works to make us not believe, to make us think that God doesn't heal and doesn't love us. Hey, so sorry for the tangent, but this is one of the things that Paul is addressing. And so if this is something that you're going through, go back and remember God is good. Remember the times that God has done these things for you. Not just when the circumstance comes back and says, hey, you know, and tells you, is God really there? Yes, he is. Yes, God is there. He is good. The second thing John kind of touches on, and this is the part where he talks about, you know, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What he's talking to the church is about truth and error, right? God being truth and darkness being error. And what he's saying to the church is this, guys, there's a right way and a wrong way to live. And so remember, during this time, because there had been so much of the world kind of creeping back into the church, a lot of the Christians at the time became uncommitted and started living not according to the Great Commission, but for themselves. They started living so that, you know, whether it's the further career, whatever the case may be, John saw that the commitment of the church was lacking in a very strong way. People were not talking about God. We're not living about God. It was not an open profession of faith. And so he's telling these guys, hey, there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. There is sin and then there's holiness. Now, this is something that I kind of want to touch on quickly too, is this. When John is saying this and there's a right way and a wrong way to live, what I hope I'm conveying is this. It's not a judgment of any sort of me saying to you, hey, you know, there's sin in your life or whatnot. But there are things that we do that we don't even recognize that aren't necessarily of the Lord. And so one of the things that John's trying to make clear to them is this, right, is that there are things that we do that we really need to recognize may or may not be the right way that God is trying to call us to live. Now, one of the things that I was talking to a friend about when I specifically was telling them about this was this, is specifically with non-Christians, I remember telling them, hey guys, there's things that we should do and shouldn't do. And the thing that they always hated about me telling them this, and specifically about the Bible, is they always say, man, I hate how the Bible has all these laws and rules and tells me the things that I can do and I can't do and all these sort of things. And the thing I always try to get across to them is that the Bible actually is not just a book of rules and laws because God is a killjoy, but rather because the Bible is a book of love. God gives us boundaries. God gives us these things so that we can live well. And I think the easiest example I can give and to express this is with Lauren. So you guys know that I recently had a daughter, and you know, beautiful. You know, we love her, and you know, one of the best things, if you guys can, you know, make sure, you know, get married, have kids. And I know these guys want to do it anyway, but make sure you try to have kids. And the reason I say this is, you learn so much about God's love for you when you do. And the reason is this: one time when she was a little younger, we were trying to give her a bath, and this was her very first bath. You know, this was like a week after she came home. And so we were like, oh, you know, you're going to love it. It's warm. She's all stinky, and, you know, she's all sweaty. There's, like, milk all over her, you know, all over her neck. And, you know, what will happen is if you keep it there because of the throw-up, she'll end up getting rashes. And so what we did was we took off all her clothes, and we started giving her a bath. And because it's the first time, she just screamed her head off. She absolutely screamed her head off. Steph and I are standing there. We're like, it's okay, you know, you need this. And, you know, the water's all warm. Everything's nice. We put her in, and it's, wah! You know, we take off her clothes, and it's, wah! But as parents, we're looking at her, and we're like, hey, you need a bath. Not just because you're stinky. We love you. But look, you're going to get a rash if we don't wash this off. And we know eventually she's going to like it anyway. And I remember thinking in that moment, I was like, God, am I like this? Do I do this? Like, there's going to be times when God, you know, just takes you through things or takes us through things where we know are necessary. But we're like, God, no. Ah, I don't want to have to go through this time. I don't want to be by myself. Ah. Exactly like Lauren. And this is one of the best instances I recognize that sometimes we have to recognize through the things that happen to us that we don't necessarily agree with what God does. But there is a good way and a wrong way to live. And the second one is this, too, is so she's starting to suck her thumb a lot. And, you know, I don't know why kids, they start, maybe it's a comfort thing. And we pull it out of her mouth. And, of course, the first time we pull it out of her mouth again, it's, wah! So if I was Lauren, I would look at me and be like, Dad, you jerk! Why won't you let me suck my thumb? You know, it comforts me. It makes me feel good. You know, or Dad, you jerk. Why are you taking off my clothes? Why are you making me sit in this water? Because it's good for you. You know, as a father now, I recognize, because it's good for you. You suck on your thumb, your skin's going to peel. If you don't take a bath, you're going to smell and you're going to get a rash on your neck because of the milk, because of your spit up. Much like this, right? The Bible is exactly the same. It's not a book of laws just so that God can be a killjoy. It's not a book of rules just so that God can tell us what to do and not to do because he hates us or he doesn't want us to enjoy life. No. It's a book of love. It's a book where he gives us these rules and these laws so we can have boundaries, so that we can live protected from the things that we shouldn't experience. And, you know, I could sit here and give you countless stories about you know, cheating and, you know, like sex before marriage, all these sort of things, and the ways that it has ruined marriages or ruined intimacy. But just trust me. Trust the Lord on this. It's not just because he hates us or because he wants us to suffer. It's because he loves us that there are these rules. And so John is telling them, hey, there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. Commit to the way God's called you to live. And it's so strongly, in fact, chapter 2, this is what he says, right? The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not with him. So friends, keep his commands. And again, this is not a judgment for you or, you know, specifically, but this was something I was feeling so strongly about. If you felt like you've walked away, if God had called you to something, just do it. Come back. And this leads me to the last thing I believe John is saying, or I believe God is saying through John, is this. We can always come back. Always. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of my favorite GIC verses. If there's any GIC verse that I think you need to remember, for me personally, I think it's this one. It's because it speaks to us on a daily level. We sin every day. It's just a fact. But the thing is, if we allow for our sin to continually keep us from God, eventually, this is where we get desensitized. You know, we feel guilt and shame. You know, the enemy's great at this. And then we walk away and we don't come back. because we feel like, how can I come back? How can I walk into the presence of the Lord? And, you know, this is not just the first time it's happened, right? God, even though John's speaking to the beginning of after Christ had died and the current Christian church had started, all throughout history, Israel, the same thing. You know, they sin and they don't want to come back. They sin and they don't want to come back. And it's the same with us. We sin, and of course, you know, it's okay to feel guilty, but the enemy likes to draw that shame. You messed up, man. Hey, you messed up. You shouldn't have been looking at that. God doesn't want you. Hey, you disobeyed. God's going to, you know, punish you, all these sort of things. But it's very clear. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just come back. God desires for us to come back. And I'll kind of leave you with 2 Peter 3:8-9. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And I love the King James version of this, is because he says, for his patience for us is like long suffering. So part of the truth that I believe God is saying to us today is this: come home. God is not somebody who just keeps grudges. Come home. All we need to do is repent. All we need to do is say, Lord, I messed up. And to keep a short account with him. Because God is quick to forgive if we are to repent. And so let me ask the Eunice to come up. And so let's close our eyes. Now, this continues to ring in my spirit. And maybe it's because it's the end of 2014. And maybe it's because it's almost the end of reboot. But, you know, one of the things I've been really thinking about, too, is, you know, in the new year, we always make, you know, New Year's resolutions. I really feel like God, and specifically speaking, if you're somebody in this year that has really just felt like, I don't know how to come back, I don't know how to do this, I'm just telling you, just come home. God loves you, period. Start 2015 right again. Start 2015 knowing that God loves you. If God gave you something to reboot this year, if God gave you a command and you disobeyed, it's okay. Start today. Start now. And if you need, or maybe it's just you don't really know if it was from God, just remember all the times that he's spoken to you before. Remember every good work. Remember every good thing that he's done. And let it be an encouragement for you to come back. Maybe you've been Christian for a long time too. I don't know. Since you were a kid. The stories were great. The idea of Jesus even better. Maybe you had a lot of head knowledge. Maybe you've decided to walk away. Maybe career and life got a bit too exciting. Come home. Come back. But even if not, it can still apply. Let's move into 2015, remembering everything God has done for us this year. Let's move into 2015 and continue to seek the way that God has called us to live. And even if we fail, let's move into 2015 remembering, no matter what, we can always come home. We can always continue seeking God and his will because he loves us. And so God, as Eunice leads us, let's just take a moment to reflect, to really seek the Lord. So Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can always come back to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're quick to forgive, Lord, if we simply come and repent. We thank you, God, that you love us enough, God, to set boundaries for us, God, because you know the pitfalls of this life, because you know, Lord, the things that take us from you. So, God, we just come to you, Lord. We say thank you. God, if we've lost our way, God, we're sorry too. We love you, Lord. So let's turn our focus to our community. Let's really pray for our friends who are suffering from cancer. Let's really pray that God heals them mightily. Let's really pray that God touches them and their family to bring them peace, to bring them joy, to bring them understanding, to ease their pain. Let's really ask that God brings full and complete healing over them. Let's pray for those in our community and our friends who need not just healing, but salvation as well. Let's really pray that God speaks to them, that God bursts faith over them as well. Let's pray that God will heal them, maybe as a testimony to them and who he is. But even if not, that they will come to know the Lord and to accept him as their Savior. Let's pray for those who are suffering from non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's really pray that God touches them as well and brings full and complete healing. Let's really claim Isaiah 53 over them, that by his scourging they are healed. Let's really pray. Let's pray for those in our community who are looking for work. Let's pray that God's favor be over them. Let's pray that, you know, whether it's their resumes or phone or telephone, their voices, you know, interviews, there's just something about them that's desirable and that they want, that the company will want to hire them. Let's also pray for providence over them in this time as well. And pray that God really provides for them. Go to our mission focus. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Let's really pray for our government. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's really pray for revival in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the churches, SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, Hong Kong Korean Church. And let's really pray for Hong Kong as a gateway into China as well. Let's really pray. It's really, if you could, just really lift us up as a staff. You could pray for our covering over us, pray for our families, pray for unity as we continue to seek God for the next year and as we seek to serve this church. Let's pray that for intimacy in all things. Thanks. Actually, if you can, also pray for P. Sam. He's actually going to be on a flight this afternoon. So please pray for travel mercies for him and his family and that they'll arrive back safely as well. Pray for our worship, sound, and media team. Let's really pray that they will serve with a heart of worship and that they will serve with joy and with love. Also pray for our Arts Anonymous, our creativity team. Let's really pray as they prepare for January, as they're finishing spread and preparing for the next issue to come up. Let's really pray that God touches them and gives them great creativity and an anointing to create spread for us. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this year, Lord, of reboot. Lord, we thank you. Lord, will you help us, God? Help my friends, Lord. Continue, Lord, in their journey and their walk with you, God. And if they're going through a tough time, Lord, especially in being able to come home, God, or seek your face or to know you, Lord, will you continue to help them, God, in their reboot, God, to know that not only are you not angry, God, but your desire for them to come home. Father, we thank you, God, that Lord, we get to be your children, Lord. We thank you, God, that you call to us, Lord, even when we're wayward. So, God, will you bless my friends this morning, God? Father, will you cover them? Lord, will you be with them, God, as they go into their workplaces? And Lord, will you continue to speak to them, God? Touch them. So that they can be an amazing testimony, God, to who you are, Father, and the things that you've done. We love you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So bless you guys. Have a great time of prayer. And we'll see you back tomorrow.